Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. I'm your host, Jen Narciso. Happy Thursday, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful week. And super excited just to share that I was interviewed on the Bigger Pockets Money Podcast. The episode came out on Monday. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, highly encourage you to. It was so much fun. I felt so honored and so humbled to be asked to speak. The episode was called Budgeting for a Baby, the Cost Every New Parent Should Expect. Again, it was just so much fun. And yeah, go check it out. Would love to know your thoughts. Also, I am so excited to share that our 100th episode is going to be coming out in a couple of weeks. Can you believe it? Thank you all so much for all your support and all your love. And for our 100th episode, I'm going to do a special one where I'm going to answer your questions. So if you have any money questions or anything at all, please, you can email me, Jen, J-E-N, at investormama.com. Send me your questions. I have a couple already that I've been getting from you and would love some more. And so excited to celebrate our 100th Investor Mama episode. And now on to this week's amazing episode. This is going to be part two. I have the pleasure of bringing back on Dee from Kids Money Academy. If you have not had a chance to go check out part one, I highly encourage you to do so. It's really one long episode, but it was too long, so we broke it up into two episodes. So we're going to continue our conversation. Dee shares how to answer kids' money questions. And so we did question number one. It was just essentially how to answer kids if they say that they want to buy something and you don't want to just say no. You want to still have an abundance mindset. You don't want to create a poverty mindset, but you also don't want to spoil your kids. And so we take a deep dive into how she really teaches her kids how to manage their money from the age of four, which is just phenomenal. So we're going to continue the conversation. So we're going to jump right back into today's episode. So let's do that. So Dee, I love all of this stuff. Like, this is what I wish was taught in schools. You need to build a curriculum for this. Like, I'm just so blown away at all this. Do you have any resources or anything that, as like how we were kind of how you were just mentioning that there's different topics of conversations as they get older? Do you have any resources for moms of maybe different topics or how they can approach these conversations as their kids get older and when they're ready to start zero-based budgeting? How do you talk to your teenager about that so that it doesn't roll their eyes roll to the back of their head?
A lot of parents struggle with this topic, right? They don't know when to bring up the topic. They don't know how to start the conversation, especially if their parents never talked to them about money. They want to break from that cycle, but they don't know how.
Yeah.
That's why actually I am coming up with a new product. It's called Money Chit Chat Conversation Cards. And that's going to be a physical resource where each questions, so the card deck will have questions and the questions will be labeled as save, spend, or give. So if you want to talk about save, here are the questions. And these are conversation openers, right? They are funny questions, but they're going to get you going with the conversation, and it's going to pick your child's interest. And then I have some bonus questions that do not fit in save, spend, or give. So I think that would be a great solution for parents who don't know where to start. For budgeting wise, I have two courses for that. One is for kids between age 4 and 4 to 10. I have a budget workbook for kids. That's a digital product. And then I have a budget workbook for teens, for specifically for teens. Now, both are digital, and we are in 2023. We are going to have physical planners for both age groups. So I cannot wait to have that product because I think it's going to be a great resource for other parents as well as for my kids, right? Everything I do, it's the nice thing about Kids Money Academy, though, because my kids are small, I am literally doing these things for my kids. And while I'm doing it, I'm sharing with everyone else. So those are the products. Also, every Friday, I send out the Friday freebie. So these are financial literacy resources that you can print out at home and you can start teaching your kids about money right away. So that is every Friday, and people can sign up. If they go to kidsmoneyacademy.com, they can sign up on my website, and it's free. It's completely free.
Love it. I'm going to put all this in the show notes. Like it's just, you're so good. You're so brilliant and so giving to share all this with us moms. So I appreciate it. I thank you for your content.
Absolutely. Always here to help.
Well, the next question, I know we spent so much time on the first one, but it was so brilliant and so good. And I need to talk to my husband and just be like, okay, we're going to start this. We're going to start that tomorrow, this Sunday. We're going to do it and just see what happens.
Yeah, try it. If they're not, you know, mature enough, then you can give a shot. If it doesn't work, give it a shot another 6 months later. They grow fast.
Yeah, I know. Well, the next question I wanted to ask you is when your child asks, why does my friend have XYZ and I don't?
This one is a question. That's a very good question. And I bet a lot of parents, you know, face this question and they just don't know how to answer. So I would, if my kids were to ask this question, I would become curious. Why is my son is asking this question? So I will follow up with more questions. So I would say, what does your friend have that you don't have? Why do you want to have that thing? Do you think your friend has this maybe one thing that your child has that your friend doesn't have? See, we make different choices in life, and their parents' priorities maybe different than ours. Do you want us to change our priorities? Let's talk about this. So I would go back to family values and choices you make as a family. If they're comparing the houses versus maybe cars or the houses or the toys, you know, depending on what it is, I think becoming curious, because I think what they are trying to do is they are trying to put themselves, compare themselves to their peers and categorize, like put themselves in a category of, are we rich? Are we middle class? Are we poor? Where are we? So socioeconomically, they are trying to put them in a place. And I think becoming curious about why they're asking the questions that they're asking, and then focus on what you have. Focus on your family values. Maybe you are a very minimalistic family. You don't like buying all the toys, all the things, but you value travel. And then you can focus on that. Look, the places that we travel are bringing so much joy to us. If we were to buy all these toys, we could not get to, you know, enjoy all these different places, the countries or the camping that we do. So focus on what you have instead of what you don't have.
So let's dive into this a little bit. Do you have set family values that you discuss on a regular basis? Did you come up with them together? How do you go about that?
So nobody wants to be lectured, right? Like that includes you, me, and your 4-year-old, 5-year-old daughter. Nobody wants to be lectured. So I would not sit down around the table and talk about family values. Actions speak louder than words. So I would try to demonstrate, if the giving is important to you, we know that giving is a good thing and everyone talks about it, but how do you actually show that to your child? Is giving one of the values that you guys have? Same thing with the travel. Are you cluttering up your house with all these toys that you don't travel, but then you say that traveling, seeing experiences is one of our top values? Like, do you actually demonstrate that? So I would more focus on the actions than actually keep talking about the family values.
But I guess the question I have is, do you include your kids? Because you may have a different value than what they do. You may value experiences, but they really don't. They may think, okay, yeah, but I would actually really enjoy the physical items.
That's why you have the allowance, right? So you're not going to tell them like, oh yeah, you're going to spend that $20 or $100 that you saved into like, we're going to go to Disneyland, and then the Disneyland experience, you're going to buy, you know, you're going to spend it on the Disneyland. No, if they want to, they value more of their Barbie sets, they can go and buy the Barbie sets. And their value is going to change. So you have your family values, and then you have your individual values.
Yeah.
Your family values, your individual values. Individual values, your value is going to be different than your spouse and your kids. Your kids will be different than yours. And their values will change over time. Their values, they're so young, their values will change over time. And that's okay. But having overall, you know, overarching values for the family is important. So whenever, for example, my son uses, let's say, a word or something that we don't normally say in our household, I just say, hey, you know, we don't use that word in our family. Oh, this is a great example. For example, if my son asks me, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do my homework, like, but how much are you going to give me? One day he asked me, like, I would never pay for homework. I said, look, in our family, we don't pay for homework.
Yeah.
So it was very clear, and it was a family value. It was not like, I don't pay for your homework, go ask dad. No, in our family, we don't pay for homework. Or let's say if he wants to do a regular chore and he's asking money for it, which is just doing what he's supposed to do. Not a, we're not talking about a hybrid method. He's not doing anything extra. And in that case, I just say, hey, we don't exchange money. We don't expect monetary things from each other for the things that we do for our family. That's the exact wording I use. And he's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice and then try, he takes a sweet time to do his chores. That's another story, but that's okay. So that's how you can demonstrate your values. In our family, we don't do this. Or we value this, use the we value, or we don't do it. We respect each other. So you can come up with your family values with your, you know, partner, and then verbalize it as often as possible while doing, while actually in action doing it.
No, I love it. I was going to actually just ask you, like, maybe you don't talk about it with your kids, but you actually said it with your spouse or significant other, and then just live it out. But at least you and your partner should get on the same page of what the values are.
Exactly. Exactly. My husband and I, for example, our personalities are very different. We took a personality test, and then we took the test that determines your values. We took different times, and it was so interesting because our personalities were, we cannot be more opposite. Like, we're so different. Our values almost identical. I'm like, oh, this makes sense. This is what keeps us together. Our values match. Our personalities are different.
Well, another question I know kids sometimes ask is, how much do you make?
How much do you make? Yes, that's a good one. You should say none of your business. I'm just kidding.
For me to know and you to find out.
Back in the days, I bet that was the answer. The most.
Yeah, no, that it probably was. That's why none of us know about money.
Go play with your toys, okay?
Yeah.
How you answer this question is going to depend on the age of your child, maturity level, and the motive. Like, what is motivating your child to ask this question? Why is your child asking this question? So I would say any child younger than 10 years old, I would say don't disclose the money that you are making, because they're probably asking that question to, again, for the different reason, and try to find out why they're asking the question. So don't give a number unless you want everyone in the school to know your salary.
Exactly.
But if your child is tween, teen years, maybe they're asking because they're thinking about different career options. You know, they're trying to determine, okay, if I go this route, I'm going to be able to afford this kind of lifestyle. You know, maybe they are trying to measure that in their head. Like, my son was asking about how much different types of scientists med. Right. So I was telling him, don't become a chemist. They don't make money. No, I'm just kidding. But it's, you know, try to find out what their motive is. And then what, if you think your child at a level that they are, they're trying to figure out the career or like overall, you know, what kind of job makes what kind of money, they can go nowadays, kids Google everything. And yeah. Even my 5-year-old comes to me and says, mommy, can you Google this? Can you search for this? Like, they know how all it works. So I would rather my kids come to me than go to Google. Yeah. So I, because if they don't get the answer from you, the next thing you know that they're going to be on YouTube searching for it. So I would try to be as transparent as possible when, if my child is 10 years and older. But if I am being transparent, I would give them the full picture, right? Because they may think, just because you're making 6-figure, maybe they may think you are their richest of rich. But in reality, in today's world, with the mortgage, all the things as a parent, you know, what takes to run a household is a lot of money. So I would explain the all of the things that goes into running a household. I wouldn't just give out a number. I would definitely talk about it more in detail. So that would be my response. Depending on the age, basically.
And if they are younger, you know, you can kind of ask the questions like, oh, what made you think of that? Or why would you ask that? But how do you end it at a point where you feel like that was good? Because you're not going to answer them directly.
So for younger kids, I would definitely focus on what you already have and what you are providing with the money that you make. Mm-hmm. So I would say, we make good enough money to provide for our family what they need. That includes the foods that you're eating, all the, you know, the things that we are buying for our home and the vacations that we go, we can comfortably provide with all of these things. That will be my answer, I think.
I like that answer. Because yeah. Then they're not going to really ask more follow-up. Or if they do, I feel like it's much easier to avoid what you don't want to talk about.
yes, exactly. What would you say?
I would probably, off the cuff, I would have been stumped and said, I would have probably said, where'd you come up with that? Like, why would you want to know? That would have been my initial gut reaction. Did someone at school ask you, or did you learn that from somewhere? Where did you learn it from? But then, like, I would want something after that to make it feel not just asking them these vague questions.
Yes.
So I like that your answer is, oh, well, we make enough to travel. We make enough that. So like my daughter always asks, this is another question. I know I kind of asked this before, but she'll say, how come our house isn't as nice as other people's? Because we live in a very wealthy area, call it what it is. And we're like the worst house on the block. We live in a very high cost of living area, and it's probably multi-million dollar houses. And we have like the $400,000, yes. like with the siding that totally needs a power wash, and our whole front gravel is coming apart, and our driveway is like, yes. you know, like that. We only have 3 bedrooms, and our kitchen can fit a table. like that. Yes. So, and I say, well, my answer always to that is, well, you know, listen, we only have, which I don't like, but I say we, you know, have a certain amount of money that we spend, and we value going on vacations, and we value mommy not working as much so that I'm home with you a little bit more, versus some people value having bigger homes or other things. But this is what we prioritize. So I have kind of said that, but I don't love that saying of like, we only have a certain amount of money, because then I feel like that creates.
Yeah. I think if you cut out that part, I think the rest is great. In my opinion, if you just cut out, like, we only have that much money.
Yeah. Cause it's like scarcity. like, all the kids have Teslas. It's crazy where we live. And it's funny because I said, like, on my dream board, I want a Tesla. So my daughter's like, oh, when are we getting our Tesla? I'm like, well, first we have to build an addition one day. Forget even that. I also like don't want to have to work so much. So that's the first thing, is that mommy's home even more with you guys than I already am. Even though I'm home a lot, I still would like to really not 100% not have to work and still save at our current savings rate.
Yes. Focus on more positive side of what you already have instead of what you don't have. And also I try to avoid comparing to other parents too, because just because somebody has a bigger house doesn't mean they have more debt or they have more stress in their life, because then they may think growing up, oh, if I work really hard or long hours, I am going to be stressed out. I'm not going to be able to spend time with my family. It's just unknowingly we actually teach that just subconsciously to our kids.
Yes, it's a really good point.
So one of the things that we have a big backyard. So my son one day asked, like, why do we have a big, really big backyard compared to our friends? Because, you know, we are in Southern California and it's very rare to have a big backyard. And my first thing I wanted to say, because we work hard. We work hard, we could afford it. That's what I wanted to say. Then I stopped myself because I know, I think I shared this with you before. A lot of people work really hard.
Yes, that's a very good point.
And especially in the service industry, the waitresses and just kind of, you know, the blue collar works really hard. Doesn't mean that they can buy and they can have a big yard. So I was like, I really walked myself back. And then even, you know, you would think that, oh, kids money academy, oh, she knows her, she's expert. No, that's not true, because it's even I didn't know how to answer that question. I'm like, let me get back to you on that.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Do you have like one-liners? Sometimes she stumps me. My younger one's still too young yet to ask. And sometimes I'll say, that's a really good question. You know what? Let me think about that and get back to you. That's kind of like my go-to. Do you have any of those that you do?
Yes, a couple of things I do. I if I say, let me get back to you, I make sure I get back to my child, because there are times that I'm sure I just don't want to talk about that topic ever again. And I
my child. That's kind of my, she's five, so I feel like I can kind of get away with it and she won't remember.
Exactly. But actually it makes me think about it. And then I do urge and then try to get back to my child. And another thing is, if I don't know the answer to something, money questions or any other questions, I say, let's research together. And then we literally sit down and research together on the computer to see what the right answer is. It's okay to show your child your vulnerability and you don't know everything. You don't have to know everything. That's okay to make mistakes. That's part of the growth mindset, right? It's okay to make mistakes. You can learn it. We can all learn it together.
I love
that. That would be my one-liner, very similar to yours, basically.
So, and to answer, how did you answer your son once you had some time to think about it?
So I say we made some choices in life that made us able to afford this type of lifestyle. I said, if you want to know more, like what those choices are, we can talk about it. And because then I talked about like how when I came here, I didn't have any money, like the things that I did. So, and he was curious to know the details. So basically I said the choices that we made, some critical choices that we made in life led us to this lifestyle.
Love that. That's a really good answer.
Yeah. So, but it doesn't mean that just because you work harder doesn't mean that you're going to always have the biggest house or the biggest yard or anything like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a tough question, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
You want to just say, oh, because we work hard or we went to college, but...
No, and I don't want to instill it either, because then I also don't want her or both of them to feel like they also just have to keep working and never enjoying either.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, they are going to make mistakes and they have their own path. That's what I'm realizing too. Like, you can only teach so much.
Yeah. Another question is probably going to be my last question that I know I've been asked by my daughter is, why do you work? and followed by, don't you want to spend time with me?
Oh, yes. That's a big one, especially, you know, when they are little, when they're around 3 or 4 years old, they start asking those questions. I would say when my daughter asked me that question, I talked about my work. So why my work is giving me joy. Like I talked about my work in a positive light, mm-hmm. and why I love my work and what are the benefits of me working. So we are making money when I work, and I put that in the, for a 4 year old, I basically say, this doesn't mean that this is the right answer. Okay. This is not coming from an expert. This is coming from a mom. Hey, you know, my mommy, I remember this conversation. I'm dropping off her off to a daycare. She's asking, mommy, why do you have to work? I want to spend time at home with you. And then I said, you know how much you like those Legos? Mommy needs to work because if we want to get Legos like this, mommy needs to work and make more money. She's like, oh, okay, I'll see you later. Bye.
So my daughter's follow-up question to that was, yeah, but because I was like, I talked about the benefits, like, you know, mommy really enjoys being a real estate agent. I like helping people. And she's like, but still, then you like that more than me? I was like, of course not. Yet my actions are saying yes, you know, and I know she's picking up on those.
No, in that case, I will focus on how much joy that your job brings to you, and then that joy how multiplies at home when you spend time with them, and quality over quantity, right? I will focus on the quality of the time that you guys are spending together. Yeah. And I would just explain that to them. Look, sometimes, you know, it doesn't mean that because we're spending 12 hours together, we will always be doing the same thing, you know, always playing together. Remember, you like to play this, you know, you like to watch the Disney Plus, whatever, like by yourself. And I like to do this. So versus if I work and if I love what I do, and you go to school and learn the new things that you are learning, enjoying your friends and interacting with your teacher, you learn new things. And now we come home and we share the things that we learn. So I will focus on the activity and how much joy that brings to both of you outside of being together.
My daughter goes to me the other night, because she also is into space and scientists. She's like, I think I want to, you know, be an astronaut or maybe not an astronomer, but I also really want to be a scientist. But I think it would be cool to be a real estate agent, but I want to be a mommy. And she's like, you know what? I think I want to stay home with my kids. I want to do what you not do, because I want to like be, she's like, I'm going to love my kids so much that I'm just going to want to be with them. And I was like, really? Like, wait a lot. Cause I was like, I still have to go to a showing tonight. I'm putting you to bed.
She's five, right?
Yes.
For a 5 year old, yes. Girls articulate like, their points.
I was like, what a dig.
Why did you do this to me now?
Yeah. I'm like working, you know, so that like we can still live the lifestyle without having to cut back so much. And she's just like, yeah, well, I wouldn't choose that. I would choose my kids over.
No, but focus on the things that she values, right? Yeah. Maybe, what does she value? Does she value like the vacations that you guys do? So whatever she values, maybe focus on that. Hey, if I were to stay home 100%, then we would not be able to do these things. But sounds like she's missing you.
So I said, well, you know what, honey, that's amazing. I'm like, you can do whatever you put your mind to. And if you decide you want to bring your kids along to work, you'll figure out a way to do it. Cause I sometimes bring her on showings and stuff. And she's like, yeah, she's like, I'll just bring my kids along so I can do both. I'm like, then you do that.
So I have a feeling you will be, watching your grandkids.
Yes. And she's going to like change the world, both kids. And he's following right along, even though he's still young. He asks questions too. And he's also, mommy, don't leave right now. Or why, mommy, why are you working? Why? I'm like, you're not even three yet. And you're just parroting your sister.
Yes, because he's copying
exactly
your daughter. It's funny. Yeah, I will focus on the positive things about your work. Oh, also, I would watch my words while I'm talking about my work, right? I would never complain about my work. I would never say, oh, I have to work. I gotta go again. Because they're listening all the time.
Yeah, like sometimes like, I don't want to go show this house so late or something. I do say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, why do I have to go this late to show this house? I know, like, they're not going to even buy it. I will watch my words very carefully around the kids and talk only positively about my work, line of work that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Then she would understand that it is a good thing. It's a worthwhile for you to work.
So, like, I know for entrepreneurs, this kind of ties in, though, I think, with entrepreneurship, because sometimes it's really hard to be an entrepreneur. And I find, too, that sometimes if, like, I guess it's very similar. If you complain about being an entrepreneur, you won't. Because I've had other guests on saying that their parents, they may have owned a brick and mortar, and they were there all the time, and it was, like, very hard. And so they knew they didn't want to own a brick and mortar. They knew they didn't want to be business owners, and they wanted to go to corporate America and run up that ladder. Do you have a preference for your own kids of what you would rather them do? And how do you kind of guide them into whatever? Like, are you comfortable if they went the W-2 route? Because as I'm trying to think of how I want to raise my kids, like, I want our kids to be financially independent, but I, one, don't want to give it to them. I want them to earn it on themselves. That's why I love your whole teaching, because it's really giving them the control to learn and grow and make their own decisions. And that's what I totally want for them, because I feel like half of the, it's the journey itself to get to financial independence. But at the same time, then how do you, with your actions, I guess, show where you want them to go? Because maybe you want them to get into real estate, or maybe you do want them to start a business or go corporate America. Well, I guess one is like, what do you want for your kids? And then two, what are you kind of doing to get them on that path?
I think as a parent, my responsibility is to give them the options, the options that they have, show them the options that they have. There's no way, of course, to show them all the options that they have, but give them the resources. If they are curious about other options, give them the resources that they can research. So my son, since he was 3 years old, when he talks about science, his eyes lit up. It's very interesting. So from a little age, that's what he's passionate about. But again, when you say science, it's very, he can be a chemist, he can be an aerospace engineer, he can be a rocket scientist, he can be biologist. Like, it's, there can be so many different things that he can do. So my job, I think, as a parent, to show him pros and cons of whatever he's interested, not my opinion, but just kind of hear from others too. So I would not necessarily put my ideals on him and push him towards that goal. I want to know what he wants to do. And some kids know that really early age. Some kids don't know. In that case, I would just create opportunities for them to experiment. Right now, for example, he wants to start a slime business. And he wants to mix that with the science, right? So he's going to have a galaxy, just kind of space theme slime products. That's what he wants. And then he wants to dabble into like entrepreneurship, because my daughter now has the business. Now he wants to have his own business. I'm totally okay with it. They can experiment. And I think every parent should, I rarely use the word should, but I think every parent should push their child to experiment with entrepreneurship. Not that they're going to become an entrepreneur, but just to understand what goes into even marketing, product creation, all of the things that goes with the entrepreneurship. So my suggestion, I guess, the answer to your question, my job is to provide options, not so much tell them what to do, but show them what options they have. And then if they have further questions, I can help them out to get where they want to get. Let me give you an example. There's this a computer game, and it requires math and physics to do well in that game. And none of my kids' friends understands that game. And he was feeling very lonely. So I told him, hey, you know what? Maybe I can look up to see if there are clubs on this topic. I'm sure there are clubs about everything. And I'm sure there are clubs. And he's like, oh, are you sure? Like, then I looked up and here it is. Like, of course, there are clubs that kids meet online and they talk about this space program. And he was worried that there was not going to be a club. And then I said, you know what? If there is no club on this topic, then we will create one. Because I'm sure there are other kids who wants to join to this club. So just giving that option as a parent, I think we can provide a lot of guidance towards what they want to work on. I have no idea what that space program is. I'm good at math. I'm not good at physics. I have no idea. But I will be there if he wants to be. If he wants to get advanced in a topic that I'm not familiar, I'm going to make sure to find the resources for him to get what he needs. So I think that's my role as a parent.
I love that. I love that so much. Because I've very pushed real estate somewhat on my kids, because I'm like, it's great because we do this, but I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be. And I kind of pushed entrepreneurship. Like, we had our daughter have an ice pop stand, which went so well. But she, you know, her brother got to go to the playground while, because we said, you have to stay here for an hour, which in kid time, that's like, you know, 10 years. And her brother got to go play at the playground, but she had to stay. And she was getting like really annoyed that she had to stay and her brother got to go to the playground. But then we had some strangers, people she didn't know, coming by. And she's like, Mommy, I don't know them, but they bought an ice pop. And she was so excited. And she's like, can we do this again? And I was kind of thinking, yeah, you know, this is the end of summer, like one and done. Like, let's just get through this because this is too much. Mom did a lot for this for, you know.
kids, yes.
But yeah, so but I'm like, I don't want her to hate entrepreneurship at five. When
you are so funny. Yes, I would say not just one topic. I think just, you know, see what she likes. Try out different things. My son started karate when he was 3 years old. Now he's 9, almost black belt. We pushed him, right? We pushed. Sometimes I'm like, you know, I don't know if we should have pushed him or not, but he is realizing that by the time probably he's like 11, 12, he's going to be a black belt. And he knows that it takes that extra effort to become great. So I talk to him always about being good versus great and how much it takes from going from good to great. And I pushed him for karate. Now, while I was pushing him for karate, he didn't try other things, right? This year, finally, he's trying different sports, different things. And I find it challenging with all of our schedules, you know, start thinking about like these activities cost money, time. So, you know, where do you stop? Like, I want to expose him to different activities, different things. Same thing with the, you know, we're talking about like, what do you want them to be? Like, you want to expose them to different things, but they all take time, effort, money from, you know, your limited resources as a mom. So there's always that fine line. And I am not an expert on kind of figuring out as I go as well.
We're living it right now. So my philosophy is, because my daughter's young, my son, he's too young for a lot of stuff. So he kind of gets shafted and doesn't get really much. But my daughter, because she gets out of school so early, she's only in kindergarten and there's no homework yet. Every day of the week, I have a different activity to kind of let her try. And it's very cheap right now. Like, we do a lot of the town stuff. So it allows me to do it. But I'm already prepping her that as we get older, we're going to have to start narrowing down. But at least now I can let her try. So like Monday's Hebrew school, Tuesday swim, because to me, swim is also, it's not even a sport. It's a necessity right now. And then once she gets good enough, then we can decide if that's something she does actually really want to do, or at least get her to where, God forbid, she falls in a pool, she won't drown. So to me, that's just like safety. Then Wednesday's dance, Thursday's gymnastics, Friday we do Shabbat as a family. And then weekends are for ourselves. This is our priority. You really wanted to do dance. I found a thing through the town. It was like $100 for the year. Hebrew school's like $300 for the whole year. The only thing that kind of costs money is the gymnastics and the swim. But to me, I'm willing to pay for swim because, again, to me, that's a safety and that may not be forever.
Wait until your little one gets into the mix. Yes. It's really fun.
Yeah. So he does the little gymnastics too. He does swim too. And I do my own kind of variation of Hebrew school at home with him. And then when she goes to dance, he gets playground time. So that's kind of like his thing. Yes. And when he gets older, if I can find like a soccer, whatever he wants to do during like that through the town program where it's $100-$200 for the year, I'm fine.
See, these are the things. I know she is young, but as she gets older, she can know the cost of things. I think it's okay to know what things cost.
Yeah.
You don't want to call it expensive too much or, oh, it costs a lot of money. But being a neutral and knowing how much things cost, I think it's important.
Yeah.
My daughter, we were at Trader Joe's. I was looking at the price of the eggs, and then she looks at it and she's like, it's $3. But she's $2. It's not expensive, right, mommy? Oh my gosh, this is just hilarious. I have to take a video of this. I did take, I'm like, repeat this again. You know, you can watch your words as much as you want, and they have their own vocabulary. Yeah. And they say things, and it's very interesting.
So actually, this goes back. Would you have your son pay for some, because extracurricular activities add up very quickly. Is that something that you would put in maybe the spend or the save for?
No, I would not. Again, I do believe that's my responsibility as a parent to pay for their activities. Now, there are some...
Because like my daughter would love to go skiing and learn how to ski and ice skating, and that is a very different price tag.
Okay. Yes, we just paid like $3,000 for our ski passes for the year.
Yeah,
for this coming year. So I totally understand. But there are different tax strategies. So you're an entrepreneur, you're a business owner, so you can hire your child. And in 2023, I think standard deduction is $13,850. So you can pay your child up to $13,850 tax-free income. You can deduct that from your business income, and then you can spend that money on your child's extracurricular activities.
So, I love this. Can you dive into that a little bit? Okay, this is gonna be totally a two-part episode. Yes,
this is probably how to hire your kids is going to be a different episode. But there are definitely ways that your child can make you money and will not become the biggest expense in your budget. Let me just put it that way.
So if you want to check out episode 84, Everything You Need to Know on Opening a Roth IRA for Your Child with Penny Rose, CPA, she kind of talks a lot about, more specifically, on how to open up a Roth IRA for your kids and how to go about doing that. But I love all these extra strategies. Maybe it's something else we could talk about, it, like expound on to in another episode, because that I love that. Optimizing your FI journey, and what better way than getting your kids to be a bonus than a liability, or an asset than a liability.
Exactly. That's entrepreneurship has many benefits. Knowledge is power. I think we need to learn more about different ways to take advantage of the tax code.
To optimize the tax code.
Yeah, legal way. Yes, definitely.
Okay, Dee, this has been amazing. I know I could talk to you for hours, and I'm going to definitely bring you back on. And I know this episode is super long, so we're probably going to make it a two-part, but it was so, so beneficial. So thank you so much. But at this part of the show, I'd love to dive into our lightning round. This is where I ask my guests the same four questions each week. Dee, are you ready?
Go for it.
All right, question number one is, what is one fun fact about you that not many people know?
Oh, okay. So I actually built a school in Africa, Ghana, elementary school, for the memory of my dad and my father-in-law. My dad was the biggest force as I was growing up. He wanted to make sure my mom and dad both, they wanted to make sure both of my sisters, I have two sisters, so we are total three, all have college degrees, and we all make money, our own money. And if you think about it, in Turkey and Istanbul, you know, it was very important to my dad that we are financially free from any kind of pressure that we may get in the future. So because of that, after my dad passed away, I decided that I want to open an elementary school, build an elementary school, and find an organization and raise over $25,000 in 6 months and open a school in Ghana. And they put my dad's name on it. And it was very emotional for me to see his legacy live that way.
I have never heard of that. That's amazing.
Thank you.
That's really, I'm going to talk to you about that offline, actually. No, but that's amazing. Oh my goodness. How old were you when your father passed?
It was right before I came to United States, actually. So I was 22.
Oh, is that one of the reasons why you came?
It was, yes, one of the reasons, because it was a turning point. I knew that if I want to go and do something, that was the time to do it. And I understood at a really young age that life is very short and it can be taken away from you anytime. So I always try to live my life as if this is my last day.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, the next question is kind of in line, is who inspires you the most and why?
Who inspired me? I cannot actually point out to one person, to be honest with you. Like, I look at every person in a way that I can learn from them. So young or old, I find as I was growing up, I had this old soul that I could connect with so much older. I will always find the things, you know, older people have so much knowledge about life. I would always ask questions. But then at the same time, I would connect with my peers. As I grew up and went to in my career, as I grew, one thing I realized is people don't know or don't realize that they can learn from people who think they are, how can I explain this?
Younger, like that you may think or don't know anything, or you're so much ahead.
Yeah, like you are so much better than them just because you have this degree, you have this. But I find has something to offer and inspire you, and you can learn from them. So I look for those unique stories and I try to learn from them. So
that's great. I love that. Well, the third question is, what books are you reading now or have read that you love and would recommend?
Okay. Right now I'm reading, it's called The Me Epidemic. And it's a step-by-step guide to raise capable, grateful kids in an over-entitled world.
Yes.
So the last thing I want my child to become this spoiled brat, right?
Yes.
We provide so much for them. We just talked about it, how many activities they do. And they definitely have so much more than I had when I was a child. And the last thing I want them to be, become this ungrateful, entitled kids. So that's why I am reading this book. It's by Amy McCready. She's one of the parenting experts that I admire. her teachings. So that's what I'm reading right now. And every time, like when I read books like this, I try to implement it in Kids Money Academy, right? Into my teachings, whatever I find useful, because we are living in a world that's very much driven by money and power. So I want to make sure I apply these principles in money topics too.
No, I love that. That's phenomenal. Well, the last question is, what is one actionable tip or piece of advice that you can tell our moms out there to help them on their own financial independence journey?
All right. My one advice would be, don't be afraid of putting yourself in situations where you feel uncomfortable. And remember that knowledge is power. So make sure you invest in yourself first, because it's going to have a trickle effect in your family and your kids, and you are going to leave a legacy that's going to last beyond your bloodlines.
I love it. Dee, this has been amazing. How can my listeners connect with you further?
All right. So you can find me on kidsmoneyacademy.com. I do have a big 25,000+ community in Instagram, Kids Money Academy. And so I would love to have your audience to join me there and say hi. My DMs.
I love it. Well, I'll put links to all your content in the show notes. Dee, this has been amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Jen.
Alrighty, that wraps up another amazing episode of the Investor Mama Podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode along with my other content. If you did, please subscribe on the platform that you are listening to and leave a rating and written review. It really helps the providers know you're finding value with my content. Also, the holiday seasons are coming up. If you are looking for ways to create some extra income, I have some great courses that I could recommend. Just go to investormama.com/make money. And just as full disclosure, anything you purchase is an affiliate link. And so it helps support the show as well. So it's a double win. But every course I have either personally taken or have known people who have taken and have made money out of the gates. And so I can highly recommend them. So if you are looking, whether you're thinking of pivoting careers and want to learn more about how to get into the Salesforce world, or maybe you're thinking of starting your own podcast or your old blog, or maybe you want to help other businesses with their advertising and learn how to do Facebook ads, I have some great resources for you to go check out. So definitely go do so. You can go to investormama.com/make money and help support the show. All right. This is Investor Mama. I will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama Podcast. If you like today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.